Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and this is the Electric Drum. Now, today I have with me a young man who I've been talking to for quite a while about different issues that have happened to him personally here in our community, and also just, you know, trying to be a mentor to him. His name is Jamal Bethea. He's from New Haven. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Juan. How you doing?
All right. Get that mic up there, man.
Okay, there you
all
go.
All right, there you go. All right. So listen, man, you're from New Haven. Tell me you grew up in Quinnipiac, right?
Grew up in Quinnipiac, yeah.
Tell me about growing up there, man.
I don't know how long you've been in Connecticut. I know you're from Bronx.
Over 30 years.
Okay, so you know about, you know, Fairhaven, Quinnipiac, you know, it's a little tough neighborhood there.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and we ended up there. I think I got to Quinnipiac when I was like 6 years old, and from 6 to about 18. So,
right.
You know, we went there at 75, so 75 to like 90.
Just tell me about your family. You got any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got two brothers, baby sister.
Okay.
And, you know, we was all athletic.
Okay.
You know, growing up, you know, we was, you know, legends out there and you know, baseball in particular.
Okay.
You know, my older brother got drafted out of high school.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Baseball?
Yeah.
And, nice.
You know, while that was happening, I was in middle school, so you can imagine all the, you know, attention I was getting, you know, coming up, you know, your older brother getting drafted, you know.
Right.
You're next, you know, so.
And did you play Pop Smith and all of that?
No, we actually played, there's a league in Fairhaven, Don Matro.
Okay.
And that was probably back in the day. That was like the most competitive league going on, you know.
Okay.
Bob Smith ain't have nothing on Don Mitchell. I don't know who's out there listening, but.
All right. Yeah, that's cool. All right. So, and then you went to Wilbur Cross High School.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about, you know, why you were at Cross.
Actually, my freshman year, went to Cross, got into some trouble, ended up in Urban Youth Center.
Okay.
And, you know, that school was, you know, had all the worst of the worst kids in New Haven, or in that one school. And actually, you know, it actually helped me get my stuff together.
Mm.
You know, so I went back to Cross and got jammed up again, ended up in high school community. But, you know, I ended up graduating.
Right. Know? Play any sports while you were at Cross?
Yeah, I played baseball, yeah.
Played
my sophomore, junior, senior year.
So what position you play, man?
Pitch.
Oh, you were pitching?
Third base, yeah.
Pitching third base?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you had that arm, right?
Yeah.
When I was in junior high school, you know, I played Little League and stuff, you know, and I played shortstop. I played third base, and I pitched.
Yeah.
But then when we got to American Legion, which is back in the day, American Legion,
yeah,
you know, and the field got bigger, I had to play first base.
Yeah.
I could always hit,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was my first love, baseball, you know. Ended up with the basketball thing. But so you graduate, right?
Graduate,
you know.
Yeah.
And so where do you go?
At this point in time, you know, going through a little rough patch. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, going from graduating and not. When you don't have your mind made up of what you want to do, you know, that's nothing but trouble right there.
So you didn't go to college?
I ended up, you know, just running around on the streets for a couple years. And a couple years after I graduated, I ended up in Housatonic Community College.
So tell me why. I mean, you know, people always talk about, well, you know, everybody has the opportunity to go to college. Not everybody, but, you know, you should be trying to get into college and so forth and so on. What happened, man? Be real with me. What happened?
It's a school thing. It was always a school thing for me.
You didn't like school?
I didn't like going to school, man. I played hooky since fourth grade.
Okay.
You know, and with a couple knuckleheads growing up in projects, you know.
Right.
And that was like an annual thing for us every year.
And you didn't have a mentor or anybody that could kind of try to guide you differently, man?
Back then, You know, nah, there was really no mentors out there. You know? Right. Actually, let me just change that.
Of course.
I'm going to mention, you know, a couple guys that, you know, really looked out for us. I'll say around 9, 10 years old, Yale had a program called Group Work. Okay. Yale sends some college kids to the projects, you know, and they'll put separate guys, you know, kids in different groups. And, you know, we'll go to the community rec centers. You know, they'll take us there on little trips and stuff like that. And, you know, it was a good thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
Good thing. You know, the Yale, they volunteer their time and, you know, mentors and have, you know, little trips, bring us to Yale, getting that experience.
Right.
You know,
right.
Coming from the projects, I mean, Yale's a big thing.
Right.
You know, just to see the inside of Yale was
right.
an experience.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
See the layout, you know, underneath, you know, what you see in Yale is not what it really is once you get inside there.
Right.
You know, underneath in the tunnels, they got basketball courts and stuff like that, racquetball courts.
Right.
Movie theaters.
Right.
You
right,
know, it's,
right.
it's pretty wild. Pretty
it's
wild
great,
experience.
Man.
Yeah.
So this is Juan Castillo. I'm talking to Jamal Bethea. Now, you know, you guys are used to me talking to somebody that's famous or whatever. You know, Jamal, man, is just a brother from the hood, man, you know, who lived his life here, man, and, you know, worked hard and, you know, and just lived just, you know, what you would call a regular life, right? You know, but by the same token, you know, he counts, man, you know, and, you know, I've been talking to this brother for a while and, you know, he's had some rough patches, you know, but I try to be there for him, you know, of course, as he's got older. You know, we talk about a year now, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, and so now, you know, you had the rough patches, right? And then what do you do after a couple of years? You say you went to Housatonic, right?
Went to Housatonic,
how did that
yeah.
work out?
Didn't work out good. School
I get with
thing,
the school thing,
you know.
Right?
I mean,
okay.
How I ended up in Housatonic is pretty, you know, is interesting too. After, you know, playing in the summer league in Bridgeport, I think I threw like a no-hitter or something like that in one of the Bridgeport leagues.
Okay.
And it was like, wow, who's this kid, you know? And the coach from Housatonic, you know, remembered me in high school. He had his eye on me then.
Wow.
And he reached out to me through a police officer in New Haven. You know, he's not in New Haven now, but he came to me and was like, yo, you know, this coach really wants you to, you know, play for him. It was only a community college, but I said, you know, I'll give it a shot. So I ended up going there, you know, played for that fall season, and that's about all I had. After
right.
the season was over, I was done.
Yeah, well, it's a shame, man.
You know, I mean, I regret not following through with it. You know, as I got older, you know, I started to, you know, become more, you know, taking more initiative and being more responsible and following through with
right.
commitments. That's important.
Right.
You know, like, you know, Juan said, you know, I went through some rough patches in my life, and a lot of those rough patches is because, you know, was because of me, myself.
You take responsibility.
Exactly.
There you go. So when did it start turning around for you, man?
I met someone, you know, I won't leave her name out, but, you know, whoever knows me know who the person is. You know, she changed my life around. You know, I met her and did a 360.
Mm.
And, you know, from being on the streets, you know, practically homeless, sleeping on couches.
Wow.
You know, going from house to house. And, you know, I met this person and just turned it right around in an instant, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah. And, you know, we all need somebody, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We can't do it by ourselves, you know. And big ups to her, man. I was talking
oh, yeah.
to her. You know I was
yeah,
talking to
yeah,
her.
Yeah,
you know, and uh-huh. she got much love for you. And, you know, she's got your back. And that's, sometimes that's all we need, man, you know,
yeah.
to kind of guide us in the right direction. And sometimes it's not even about what they say, you know, but what they do,
yeah.
you know, and how they support us, right? So I know that you know, you got into, you know, you got into some work. So let's talk about the work now.
Oh,
how did
work?
You get into
okay.
that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like I said, when I met, you know, person, you know, that we just spoke of, just getting myself, removing myself from the elements that was holding me down.
Yes.
And that was the environment where I was at. You know, getting from that environment and clearing my head up, you know, I was able to go out and get an interview and get hired and work, you know, and actually, you know, gave me some, you know, if I you show that motivation, it will pay off.
Now, what kind of work was it? What kind of work?
At this time, it was Home Depot.
Okay.
And back then, you know, I'll say 94, Home Depot stocks were splitting. So the employees were, you know, we was reaping the benefits of that. The company, you know, it was just, Home Depot was just exploding. The stocks were splitting. We had the stock option plans and all that stuff. You know, it was giving out some real good incentives. So, you know, I did pretty good my first run.
Right.
You know, I was there for 4 years. And then I ended up going, working for a friend that I went to school with. I think it was in like sixth grade. You know, a geeky kid.
Right.
You know? Geeky white kid from Fairhaven.
Okay.
You know, and he ended up being president of the largest AV dealer company in the Northeast.
Man.
Yeah, so that was a big jump from Home Depot to that, you know.
Right.
Company van, you know, Nextel.
Right.
You know, company credit card, gas card, all that. You know, it was pretty wild. Traveling the whole Northeast was like the biggest AV dealer in the whole Northeast. So, you know, we hooked up. We did a lot of control rooms, you know, similar to what you'll see in your studio.
Right, right.
We wire all that up, you know.
Right.
Or hand wired, you know.
You were doing that?
I was doing that.
Wow, yeah. Man. That's great, brother.
It was pretty interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so how long did that last?
I did that for 3 years. And, you know, the hours were just too, you know, ridiculous for me. I'm working like 70, 80 hours a week. You know, I'm away from home for whole weeks at a time. I mean, I couldn't. It was just too much stress.
Right.
You know, and the person I was involved with, we had a little kid, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was a lot of stress on the whole family situation itself. So I ended up getting into the Ironworkers Union.
Wow.
Got
okay.
into the Ironworkers
Union. How did you do that, man?
My girlfriend's brother.
Yes.
He was in there. He got me in. And back then when I got in, there wasn't too many minorities in there.
Yes.
And our local was right in New Haven. So you would think that's an opportunity for New Haven people. But
right.
Nah. It wasn't the case, you know. So when I got in, more minorities. Now it's a different story. The local has changed dramatically right now.
Right.
You know, so.
Now tell me, now this is Juan Castillo. I'm speaking with Jamal Gatia. You know, he's from New Haven. He's from Quinnipiac. His brother, you know, has been through a lot, you know, but, you know, like a lot of us, you know, and this brother here, man, you know, me and him have talked a lot, you know, in the last year and a half. And, you know, I thought that, you know, he had a story to tell, like all the people that come on this radio station. Of course, you know, some of them are famous or whatever, you know what I mean? But this brother right here, you know, it's indicative of, you know, what happens to a lot of young people, you know, and they don't have a place to come to and tell their story like this one. And so I've given him the opportunity to come in and tell his story because I think it's a story that we all need to hear. So let's go back to the Ironworkers, right? So you were actually up there when doing them skyscrapers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Walking them planks and all
walking
that.
Walking the beams, all
wow,
that stuff.
Man.
Yeah.
First time you did it, man. Tell me about that.
Oh, first time. Oh, I got a couple stories.
Okay.
You know, not being experienced, you know.
Yeah.
Doing some stupid things, you know. One, for instance, we're working at the powerhouse where they was building the new powerhouse out there, you know, out in the East Shore area.
Okay.
We was putting up a building, and the buildings that we were putting up were called Butler buildings. They got the pitch roof and perforated, you know, metal.
Right.
So one day, you know, we was up there and started raining. So we all came down, so I decided to, you know, me, you know, being inexperienced, oh, I left something up there. And, you know, it was raining up there, so I get up to the peak and, you know, the roof is, I mean, it's not no giant building, but it's up there probably about 30 something feet. And I start sliding down the pitch roof. I'm like, oh, man.
Wow.
You know, luckily I was able to clinch on and not get, you know, fall off the edge and get to the ladder. But
wow.
It's, you know, it's crazy.
Dangerous.
Thing. Dangerous.
Yeah. But eventually you learn.
Oh, I learned. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You got to outsmart it, you know.
Right. And
you
start to
be safe.
Yeah, and so you kept on getting jobs and doing
well for
yourself, right?
Right. 360 building we did.
Okay.
I did some work over here at the Gateway. I mean, Q Bridge.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome, brother.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so, you know, so life is good. So you're doing good. You're working for that, you know.
Uh-huh.
You're in the union and you're getting work and everything is going well, you know. And you change your life, man. Mm-hmm. Right? Got out the streets, man.
Oh, yes.
You know, moved away was from some of the knuckleheads, right?
Yeah.
You know, but then did you have an incident that happens, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Unfortunately,
right? You know, and it turns your world around, right? You know. And we've talked a lot about that, right? Yeah. You know, but the people need to hear about what happened to you, right?
Yeah.
And how you overcame it, right? Because that's really what the story is all about, right? How you overcame it.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about what happened.
2014, you know, staying in Wallingford, you know, with the friend, you know, that changed my life around. Somebody I trusted, you know, with all my life. One night, out of the blue, the car gets stolen. You know, I just bought the car, brand new. It gets stolen in Wallingford. And, you know, report it like, you know, normal people would do.
Right.
I report the car stolen. And the next day, I get a call from Hamden's claiming that it was involved in an accident. And the person who I trust with my life, they're saying that she was involved in it. So I'm like, you know, it can't be true because we were both home at the time.
Right.
You know, I got phone records that show that we were home. You know, Wallingford didn't care, you know. They just kept going through with what they felt happened, that I tried to commit insurance fraud and she was driving and got involved in this accident.
Right.
So, you know, for 3 years it lingered on, you know, in and out the courts, you know, disrupting my life and, you know, all the positive things, you know, that I'm trying to do with myself, moving forward, build my life up, you know, try to achieve the American dream is getting, you know, interrupted by me going in and out of court for 3 years. So eventually, you know, it came to trial and...
You took the case to trial.
To trial, yeah.
Because you believed that, because you felt like, hey, I'm being... Yeah. Railroaded here. Exactly. I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, you know that, right?
I know it. You know.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of us just take the deal.
Mm-hmm. Right? Exactly.
A lot of us, you know. Exactly. Yeah, but you weren't going to do that.
I thought about it.
Just,
you know, get this thing over with. And a lot of my family members telling me, "Yo, you know, you're not going to be, you know, just let it go. Whatever deal they give you, take it." I'm like, "No, I'm not going to take the deal." You know, and I stuck by my guns. And seeing it all the way through the trial, and you know they charged me with larceny, insurance fraud, and false report of a vehicle, and you know I was acquitted on larceny and insurance fraud. So, you know that kind of gave me, you know I felt that that's a big win for me.
Right.
You know,
even though
and insurance fraud, that would have had me in jail, you know.
Right. But what you went through during them 3 years was crazy.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, you talked to me about, you know, you had a couple of, two lawyers, right? Was it two lawyers?
I went through three lawyers.
Three lawyers. And, three you know, lawyers, and, yeah. and each one of them, you had to pay, you know, and they weren't, in some cases, they weren't doing their job.
Oh, they drained me.
Right.
Yeah, the first lawyer I had, he worked for me for maybe like 2 or 3 months, and I'm telling him that, you know, the main key to the case is this eyewitness that the cop said that, you know, seen my girl driving the car. That's the key to the case, and they refused to look into that matter. Come to find out that that was the case. I strongly felt that, you know, that wasn't, you know. Something's going on with this eyewitness, and she ended up hiring a private investigator, and got the true story that he said he didn't see any accident. He never seen anybody, you know. He never seen an accident. Period.
Right.
So that's what it all came down to, and you know, that was my main problem, and that's what I wanted to get these lawyers to focus in on, you know. But they a lawyer. It's gonna go their certain way, or you know, their position is this, and that's what it is.
Yeah, and in some cases they don't believe you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. You know,
yeah,
I mean, yeah. and But, you know, a lot of people, you know, you hear about these other cases where, you know, drugs involved and this and that or whatever. And sometimes, you know, you're innocent of, you know, of a crime. And so, you know, people, but, you know, there's these other cases like yours, right, that I wanted to bring to the forefront here. You know, so did you, because, you know, you talked to me about it and you said it was okay. You know, you wanted to go on the air, right? Most people don't want to do that, right?
Yeah.
You know, and right now you're on probation for the other thing.
Yeah,
right?
For the force. Yeah.
You know, but the thing is that, you know, so many times people don't know about these kinds of cases and how people could change. Now, you know what? This could have caused you to go back to the life that you had before.
Exactly.
You know, because you were bitter about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Lost a lot of money, you know, and all of that. And, you know, this, and I know, to some degree, you thought this was because you were black, right?
Yeah.
Would you think so?
I know it is.
Okay.
Robert, I mean,
because you haven't said that. Right?
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to, you know, really put it out there. I don't want to really put it out there like that.
Right. But that's how you felt.
Yeah, that's
how you
felt. And I put that out there. I did put it out there.
Yeah, okay.
And a lot of people heard it. And, you know, I think that was kind of one of the driving forces of them pursuing it so hard against me, the state, because, you know, sometimes when you speak truth to power and you tell them like it is, and that's what I did, you know.
Yeah, activism hurts and you lose sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know? They came at me hard. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're here, brother.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you went through it. You know, one of the things that me and you talked about was the fact that so many of us go through this kind of stuff and then we begin to get bitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that you're working on, right?
I'm working on it. It's hard right now, you know. Since the, you know, I just got sentenced on April 26th. So since then, you know, it's hard. You know, I don't, you know, before, prior to that, I mean, even in between, you know, why it was going on, when I'm represented by a lawyer, I was confident I could go to work, you know, because I felt that he's doing his job. So,
right,
you know, when you don't have that, or I don't know how to put it. When you don't have that lawyer that's you know, really out there for you, that really, like, throws a blow at you.
You don't have a peace of mind.
I don't know.
Right. But it's over now.
It's over, yeah. I'm going to let go. And I'm going to move forward.
Yeah. You know, you got a lady that loves you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got a family that cares about you. I care about you, brother.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? You know, it's almost like I've been going through it myself because you've been taking me through every step of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you know, and... you know, I mean, the best that I could have done at that time was just to be there to counsel you somewhat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I did the best I could, you know. But I also thought that, you know, your story needed to be told, right? Because, you know, some people might think, well, this ain't big enough, right? You know, this ain't, you know. But you know what, man?
Yeah.
You know, you went through something that, you know, a lot of other people go through.
A lot of people going through it now.
Yeah.
You know? Think about it.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm going through this. I went through it for 3 years.
Right.
You know, the same people involved, they're probably putting somebody else through it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And that's the problem. It's no accountability, you know, for, you know, if you get a bad police officer, you know, and, you know, they could just do what they want. Then you got the police policing themselves. That's a bad mix right there.
And, you know, look, you know, this show is, you know, I highlight good cops, you know, but I also, I'm going to highlight situations like yours, you know, where, you know, someone like you was put through a whole lot just because someone didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they
didn't,
you know,
do their job. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, you know, I'm not here trying to litigate the case, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm just here for you to tell your story.
Yeah.
And you did it, right? You know, and I appreciate you coming here, brother.
Yeah.
It took a lot of courage for you to come here and speak, and you're on probation now, so
so
be careful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
definitely be careful, you know, and so where do you go from here, bro? Let's talk about your future. What you want to do, man?
Right now, what I want to do is just get back to work. I've been out, like I said, since the sentence. I want to get back to work. Before the sentencing, I was doing good, and once they hit me with the probation and all that, it kind of threw a blow at me. And you know, you gave me some good advice when we talked.
Yes.
You know, you gotta think about karma. You know?
Right.
You know, and you know that circle, you know that circle is wicked. You know, sometimes it comes around and bites you,
and you don't even know. And you don't even know.
Yeah.
You don't even know where it came from.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm just trying to stay positive. You know, I mean, so
and
only good can come from being positive.
Yeah.
You know, so
and get back up there, man, and do with them iron works. We need you out there to build some of these buildings, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Not America to build, yeah. That's our slogan.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Building
America. Jamal Bethea, man. Yeah. Listen, and big shout out to your lady, man.
Oh yeah.
You know, I definitely wanna because she's got a lot of courage too, man.
Yeah.
To stick with you through all of this.
Yeah, that's one I mentioned, one of the mentors too.
Of course.
Yeah, Miles Shapiro. That's one of the guys that stuck with us, you know, when that group work thing broke up.
Right.
He was a true blue mentor. He stayed with us.
Right.
You know, it broke up eventually over time, but Miles Shapiro, he stayed with us all the way through his whole 4 years, man.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's great. And I got a lot of those kids right here, you know, from Yale.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of great work in the community, just like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jamal Bethea, man, you know, you. Listen, man, in a small way, you a hero to me, brother. You know what I mean? Not in a small way, in a big way. What am I saying? You know, in a big way, you know? And I appreciate you coming and, you know, with the courage and, you know, and with the class, man.
Yeah,
you know, you handle this with class. You've done this with class. And I wish you the very best, you know. You know, we can always remain friends, brother.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So we're going to stay in contact. And, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, I'm having the 25th anniversary party, so I'm inviting you on the air right now. I want you to be there.
I will be there.
All right, brother.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Juan.
All right, Juan Castillo with you. I know you've been inspired. All right, you know, here's a brother, you know, who overcame, you know, something that a lot of us, you know, go through, you know, and no one talks about. So this is Juan Castillo. This is the Electric Drum, and I will see you next week.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.